Detroit convention, but we did not receive a telegram in reply because Brother Norman Rice was there and has now returned here and has the personal greetings from the convention, and they send to us and give to us a text, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And he says that Brother and Sister Wilson and Brother and Sister Woodward especially sent their love to you all. Now let us join in singing hymn number 185. 185.
Away. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of joining our voices with others. That we trust each one of us sings from the heart such wonderful sentiments as we just sung. And we thank Thee that Thou art willing to answer such a earnest request as that. And Thou hast given us that wonderful book that's able to fill us up and to give us the power for an inheritance among all saints. For these dear brethren that have come from such distances to have fellowship with us and to minister to us Thy good word, we thank Thee for their love and devotion. We thank Thee for the love and devotion of all of the brethren that have gathered here. We pray that we may together be lifted up to things above and draw near to Thee, and that according to Thy wonderful promise, that Thou, the Almighty God, will draw near to us. And now especially we ask Thy blessing upon our dear brother Barrett as he speaks to us, and upon us in our hearing, that together we may be richly blessed. And we remember the other gatherings of Thy dear people elsewhere, and pray Thy rich blessing upon them too, and upon the isolated and the sick and the afflicted. Draw us all those that long for more of Thee and of our Master in their life, that their longings may be realized. And this our prayer and our thanks and forgiveness for our shortcomings, we ask in Jesus' dear name.
Listening to our dear brother Barrett, and his subject, as announced, is the potter and the clay. Brother Barrett. Many of the brethren here have been given us different subjects, all necessary for our building up, our comforting, and our encouragement. Now, the subject I've taken tonight, for tonight, I thought would be profitable to us all, is the potter and the clay. Now, we have to be a little personal in this. As I go on with this illustration of the potter and the clay, I'm going to ask myself the question, and I'm putting the question to myself also, and I'm hoping you'll do the same, dear friend. Now, if we're talking to children, I believe you would do the same. I always ask them what grade they're in. We ask children, I believe invariably, adults ask the children. We know they're going to school, and we ask, what grade are you in? Now, as I go along with this, shall we ask ourselves this question, what grade am I in? You know, dear friends, sometimes I think we do not take this matter serious enough. God has opened our eyes to see a wonderful plan of salvation. And that plan, dear friends, is not given to you and me just for idle curiosity. The scripture said it is God that worketh in us to will and to do His good pleasure. If we could get the seriousness of this in our school of Christ, we wouldn't waste so much time. We would apply our hearts unto wisdom. I never had much education, and I never had much time. But that little time I did have, I'm sorry I wasted so much. You know, we're not going to have, the time is not going to be prolonged. It's a serious matter when we realize the time is short. Are we learning the lessons of life? And this wonderful illustration of the potter and the clay, it teaches one particular lesson. Will we be submissive to the Lord's leadings and His guidance and His working in us? Now, we have in mind a wonderful future for these vessels of honor which He has prepared in the preparation. But let us go back to the illustration. We'll read these scriptures.
and we'll see what God has been doing for many ages, and how the vessels in His hand have been marred. The scripture we're taking is Romans 9:20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto less honor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has afore prepared unto glory. This shows us, dear friends, that God had in mind a preparation of some wonderful vessels. Now note in this, they were to speak of his glory. When we see a beautiful vessel, there's no honor to the vessel, only submissiveness of the clay in his hand. But all the honor goes to the master workman, the potter. Now, in making vessels, as you know, to make good vessels, you can make any old flower pot out of any kind of clay. But to make a wonderfully valuable vessel, it has to be a special kind of clay. And you know, we sometimes forget this when we're talking truth. God cannot use the world of mankind in general. They are not the right kind of clay. They're not submissive in general. He can't huddle them up and get them plastic. But there's certain clay in general. And you and me, dear friends, the fact that we have the truth is a truth that we are the right kind of clay. You know, the early disciples wondered why our Lord spoke to the multitudes as he did in parables and dark sayings. He gave them to understand. It was not, this wonderful truths were not for them. It was for a certain kind of clay. Then he said, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear these wonderful truths. They were the right kind of clay. Now he gets the clay. And the first thing, with a lump of dry clay, they put the water on it. And it kisses and spits and makes an awful mess. What is the first truth you heard? Did you spit and splutter about it? The first item of truth I heard, dear friend, was immortality of the soul. My face went red and white and green and every color. But after a while, I swallowed that. Now, this lump of clay, you know, when they get that, that's wonderful. Get an item of truth. It absorbs it, and then it wants more. Then you get a bit. You know, you hit this lump of clay with a mallet. And you know the brother that was presenting the truth to me, I didn't like him at all. Oh, I didn't like him. But this is the truth. The truth that he's presenting to me. And I overcame that. I'll give you another illustration, dear friend. There was a brother who was a Church of England minister and a Hebrew scholar. And he was this lump of clay that was really ready for the truth. And God sent an old-eating lawyer giving the truth. That's pretty hard, wasn't it? For him to accept the truth. A Hebrew scholar. From a man from the backwoods. He overcome that. He accepted it. It was the truth. It might have been a little easier for him if another professor had come and given the truth. But that isn't God's method. That was the first bit, dear friends. You know, the clay begins to get softer. I believe we all look in our experience and see that. God seems though he puts a stumbling block in our way. Why didn't he send someone together, someone we like? No, the truth is the truth, dear friends. and we accepted the truth for the truth's sake. Otherwise, if it had been someone we loved or someone we respected, we would have believed the truth because they said it. God is wise in all this, you know. Then we go on. Come along in the truth and the clay begins to get pliable in the hands of the potter. You can work it a little now. And then you have to go on the spinning wheel. Oh, we twist it around. Sometimes you don't know where we're at. The lessons of life, you know, and the stress. One getting answers here and another there. And we go out with this wonderful truth, we think everybody is going to believe. We find we don't accept it. We get a little opposition. Are we going to give it up? Cause the opposition. This works two ways. I've seen so many come to that point, there's enough. All that you see is an uphill road. They don't want it anymore. One dear sister got over the first lesson, and she came to realize what she'd have to give up. She'd have to give up her boyfriend. She told me, couldn't do it. That clay is thrown aside, dear friends. He could have made good. It's thrown aside. We all come to these points, I believe, in this wonderful school of Christ, and if we overcome that, we go a little further, grace too. You know, when I came to the truth, I thought all the brethren were perfect. I really did. What a wonderful bunch of people. I thought they were all perfect. You know, I'm beginning to find out they were not. But I wasn't looking at the self, you know. And it's quite a shock to get over. But with the Lord's grace, I got over that. Then I began to look at myself and found I wasn't. I'm not in these different grades. Now, I'm hoping you are applying this to your lives as I go along. You've been through this. I've got along pretty good. Now, forgive me for using personal, because I want you to do the same. Went on and on for a while. I thought I was just it. And at this time, they were running short of elders and deacons. I hadn't been in the truth long. And they put many of our brethren in jail. That's why we were running short of elders and deacons. So they voted me in, or I would be an elder if I could pass my questions. You know, the VDM questions. I sat down one evening and wrote them all up in 10 minutes. They come back again. They asked me to study a little more. That took the wind out of me. That was good. You know, taking the wind out. I thought I knew all the truth. Because I'd read the volumes. And I sat down. A little more humble now. I began to study these questions. And it took a long time to answer them now. I begin to feel Jesus there. And this time I answered them. But I didn't feel so inflated, you know. After all that rebuke. Now the time goes on in this wonderful school. And now we begin. Now it's going to take a shape, a pattern, a set pattern. And that pattern is shown in the life of Christ. And the basic one is the four attributes of God. And that wonderful part is shaping the rest. Shaping the rest as it spins around. Then it's shaped. We begin to get to the fourth quarter mark now. And then this vessel is put out to dry. And here the great potter watches it, the sea really dries without cracking. It doesn't dry out too quick, otherwise it would crack. And afterward, the sea, it sets. Then it has to be fired, put in an oven with terrific heat. There is one thing the potter does with that vessel. He puts on a saga so he doesn't lose its pattern. Otherwise, that vessel would go in the flames and it would crack or it would buckle up and get right out of shape. So the potter puts on it a saga, and the flames do not hit it directly. Dear friends, have we been through that yet? Have we had those fiery trials? Did you realize the Lord's care in you when you're in those fiery trials? The hymns sometimes sing, "The flames shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and the gold to refine." Yes, that wonderful saga is this. It's put on as protection. We have God's word for it. And many, dear friends, even with that saga on, to keep it in shape, cannot stand this fire affliction. And it's very necessary, because God has in mind a wonderful vessel. Now supposedly we stand this fire, and the vessel comes out, saga is taken off. That is it finished? Oh, no. Now, there's going to be a lovely pattern on that vessel, painted on the vessel. A wonderful pattern. Beautiful pattern. It's called in another picture, the embroidered robe, the pattern of the Christ-like character. That's another figure, but this pattern is wonderful. Colors on this vessel painted on. Now that is law. You know, there's something else after this. If it was not glazed and fired again, that pattern would come off. It would wash off and wear off easily. Now our Lord, he started the arrangement with the pattern on. Brother Harrison mentioned this in his talk. Yes, our Lord started right there. He had the character, but it wasn't set and it wasn't crystallized. It had to be glazed. And then had to go in the furnace again. Yes, he had to go in the furnace again to set the pattern or to crystallize the character. Are you following me, dear friends? Some of the older ones perhaps are there, where the pattern, the character set. And God is leaving some of us here a little longer, so that could be crystallized. A fixed and a steadfast character. Now our Lord Jesus, as we said, had this character, but he hadn't been proved. He had no adversity. No trouble, no contradiction of any sinners until he came to earth. And that 3 years and a half, dear friends, fixed that character. You know, our Lord Jesus has the divine nature, and he must needs be proved. What if some of the 144,000 would be in that kingdom without a proved, established, a fixed character? It'd be still in any of these things. You know, God takes no chances. Our Lord Jesus has been faithful for many, many years, but he's never been proved. And this is one of the reasons, dear friends, why there's a commission of evil. It's one of the reasons. God could not choose you and me in the next phase when Satan is bound. When everybody's going the same way, we're going a different way, dear friends. And this is another test on our character and our peace. Have you ever tried to consider our Lord? The contradiction of sinners against him. When they hit him on the face with the rod and said, "Now prophesy, who it is that smote thee?" I would have turned round and hit him. I couldn't. I'd have asked him. What a wonderful test. Now, God would not perhaps test me that way. He'd know my frame, that I am the dust. I'll give you a little incident, dear friends, that it's against me anyway, so I can speak of that. I was had a position in the city hall at one time, and they were putting all the brethren in jail. And the chief of police knew me. He knew I had the books. He said, "Now, Barrett," he said, "you know, we're putting all these other brethren of yours in jail. We'll have to put you in unless you burn your books." I will not burn my books. I take me to jail. I wanted to go to jail. Oh, I'd love to went to jail with the other brethren. I was just waiting for it. But they wouldn't put me to jail. No. I had a job there. They couldn't get anyone else for. But they didn't want to put me to jail. I'd been talking truth to them. Well, he said, "Promise me you won't tell everybody you've got the books." That's the sixth volume of Well, I said, "I won't tell everybody that. But I couldn't go to jail. That wouldn't have been any good for me, you know. Because I wanted to. It's a little self-will there. Yeah, I wasn't to shine like that. You know, I might have been forever after that puffing myself up that I'd be to jail for the Lord. Well, that wasn't God's will for me. Now, as time went on, go back to the pattern, you know, this beautiful vase with the beautiful colors and the pattern on it has to be glazed. And it's glazed and fired away. Now the pot is very careful about the temperature of the heat of this. Just enough to set the glaze so the pattern will never come off. And it's fired again, and then after that, the potter's watching something. It's put into shades to cool. And here, dear friends, many of those wonderful vessels are useless. Right there for last. The glaze cracks. It crazes, as we call it. And you can see the old clay right through. Haven't we seen many a wonderful brother and sister have possessed the Holy Spirit and the wonderful passion? There they begin to think there's somebody. And you see the old flesh right through the cracks of the grave. This, dear friends, corresponds to the being put in on the shelf, forgotten. Many a brother and sister in their lifetime have wanted to do this and wanted to do the other for the Lord. And the Lord, in His wisdom, because He's dealing with these vessels individually, not as mass production, He's dealing with each vessel individually. And this brother would like to do this. He'd like to be an elder, he'd like to be a pilgrim, he'd like to be something else. And God puts him down. I've seen brethren, they were not elected as deacons. And go right out of the church. I've seen sisters lose this position or that. Set at naught. That's the cooling process. They get bitter. Then the old flesh begins to show through the glaze on the vessel. You know, Brother Benjamin Barton said once, "If my good is evil spoken of, and all my, if My advice is set at naught. Tell my little favorite. This is hell. Right here. Have you ever been in a class? Now, speaking to you and me, you've been asked a question. You couldn't answer it. How do you feel about it? You feel a little small? Does it hurt us, dear friends, if we feel a little small? It shouldn't. Does it hurt our pride when we give advice and someone don't do just the opposite? You feel a little bit hurt over it? Look out. All these things, dear friends, we have to watch. Do we feel sometimes that God has absolutely forgotten us? That's a good lesson. I had a little dog once, and I trained the little dog to stand at attention on his hind legs like this. Well, that was easy, but as soon as I left the room, he'd come down. Of course, natural. But I wanted that dog to stand at attention after I'd gone. And I trained him for this. I'd go out the room, go around, I'd come in, he'd still be there. One night, I had him standing at attention. Someone came to the door, some friends. Of course, he took me in the front room. I forgot the little dog. I don't know how long, a long, long time. And I just remembered the dog, and I went in there, and I was standing up. Dear friends, that's a lesson for you and me. God sometimes puts us on the shelf to cool. But he hasn't forgotten. No, he hasn't forgotten. It's working something in you. I used to be in the army, perhaps you know, and our hardest task was standing to attention, standing still. Many, many soldiers would faint, standing still. It was good discipline for us. If we could stand. And God, in his wisdom, sometimes put you and me on the shelf. But it's a wonderful blessing. Yes, you remember the high priest waving the breath. Yet wave it and wave it. And it never gives you the time how long he had to wave it. Yes, he waved that. So his best hours wave before the Lord. Now, can we wave our best hours before the Lord when we're doing them? Yes, dear friends, we can, if that's the Lord's will. The housewife sometimes, she would like to be out in something greater, something more spectacular for the Lord. Dear friends, whatever we're doing, if we do it unto the Lord, it's waving unto the Lord. Have you ever tried this waving to and fro? It's very easy to start, isn't it? Keep it up. The game is weary. There's no set time. It was taken off the hand when Moses or Aaron thought fit. This is one point you should not forget. God has not forgotten you or me. All these experiences of life are necessary for us in this wonderful school. If you come to the time, dear friends, when you realize you have the Christ-like character, and that's being said, you can use it. But be careful. See that it doesn't crack, that wonderful blaze where you see the old flesh right through. Now those vessels are going to be in the hands of Jehovah God throughout all the countless ages of eternity. A vessel unto honor. And there's other vessels, as you know, that God has been preparing for a long, long time. These vessels take about 2,000 years for the preparation. The vessels of wrath, as we spoke about, what are vessels of wrath? Dear friends, they're vessels that the great potter started on. Some of them had the worst of pattern on. Some of them are even glazed. But they're cracked. You know, a good potter, he never sells seconds. Because it has his name on it. A good firm wouldn't sell seconds. You know, some firms make a practice of making seconds. But not the great potter. They're destroyed completely. Vessels of wrath. Fitted for destruction. It's a sad thing. But that's the scripture. Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You know, God never uses a whip. But he does use admonitions and warnings. And in this wonderful lesson we get this, dear friends. The lesson of war. Yes, these seconds are broken up and they're made to keep the war. Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. There has been many a clever brother in the truth. If I look back, I see many of them had the character and they had the ability. And they started new doctrines or something. And with the new doctrine, as dear friends, you can see through them all, begin to see through the crack in the glaze, the old flesh, something they have made, vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You know the first vessel that the Heavenly Father made was Father Adam. It's the dust, the clay, the real clay. Of the earth. And that was a wonderful vessel. It was a wonderful vessel. Crowned with glory and honor. And he had a pattern there, but it wasn't set. And it was marred in the hands of the potter. You know, I've often thought of Father Adam. Recently, there was a man and a woman fishing here in California, and the woman fell in. And the man couldn't swim, but he jumped in after. He committed suicide. So did Adam. So we have a little sympathy for Adam. But Adam, dear friends, is going to have his opportunity. And your faith that you will have that wonderful privilege of shaping Adam. Yes, the church is going to have that privilege of shaping Adam to a wonderful. You know, our Lord dealt with another, the nation, in Jeremiah, 18th chapter. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel has seemed good to the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. God gave his law to the children of Israel, clay in their hands, and he worked with them hard, but it was marred in the hands of the potter. Dear friends, many try to get under the law. This law. And they're going to get their time later on. It's no happiness to get under that law. It was marred in the hands of the potter. There is a wonderful thing that we see, that he made it again. He started again.
make that wonderful nation again the second time. And this time, dear friends, you and me will have an opportunity. The clay is being ground. And there has to have more grinding. And then this church is going to mold the nation of Israel. Yes, that's the Lord's word. Mold the second time. And this next time, dear friends, they will be vessels unto the Lord's honor. Because all the nations are going to flow into that. It's going to be hard, isn't it? Some of the nations to bow down. To take the truth from the Jews. Look how they'll be persecuted and hated. That'll be their first blow, you know, with a hammer in the water. If they can overcome that, you're right. They're going to have some hard experiences, some of those who persecuted the Jews. They're going to go and bend down very low and accept the truth, because the truth will come from Mount Zion, but the word and the written word from Jerusalem. Now, the scriptures tell us that we, the church, are going to have do some breaking. Revelation 2, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers. That time, dear friends, isn't in the far distance, isn't far away. And God has given those who overcome that privilege. They've got to be broken up and remolded. I think Brother Baker mentioned that particular point this afternoon. Remade, recreated. What a wonderful privilege we don't have. And the pottery in the next stage is not going to be individual. It's going to be mass production. Mass production. The making of the vessels in the next stage. There'll be a law they'll form, and there's a word they have to conform to. And the law will go forth from Mount Zion. He has to be mass production. But God is very careful with these vessels that he's making now. I say, dear friends, if we keep this in mind, that God knows your individuality. He knows just what you can stand, and he knows just what I can stand, and just what I need. If we had that thought firmly fixed, we wouldn't know. We'd look for the Lord's leading in all our affairs, and we'd be clasped in his hand. You know, this illustration of the pot and the clay emphasizes this one particular point, that being submissive in his hands. And it is needed. You know, if God had chosen these wishy-washy characters, the yes and no, or just the yes men and yes women, that would be easy. It's done anything with it. But they've got out of shape in no time. We had to have an individuality, dear friends, and God saw to that we had. And most of us were positive characters. Yes, I used to fight at the drop of a hat. And I couldn't fight anyway. Used to get beat up. This combativeness. And when I got this combative, when I got in the truth, I found out that I wasn't fighting my brethren. It was just myself. As being plastic in his hands, submitting to this, submitting to the other. It was a hard lesson to learn. Perhaps you could say the same. Now, God in his wisdom, the hard experiences to make us plastic in his hands, so it make us the right shape, the character, likeness of Christ. And then it has to be fixed, set, throughout all the ages of eternity. Dear friends, our time of trouble is on now. Yes, we have to have it. Do you know if everybody believed the same as us? We couldn't have made our call in the election, sure. We have to have the opposition. And God sees to it that we get it in some form or other. This opposition, it's wonderful to have it. The permission of the evil is one of the deep things of God. And we can see how Satan and all these hosts of evil have been to prove us. Yes, we can see God's wisdom in this. Now you know, dear friend, there's another potter. Satan's a potter. He's made some wonderful vessels, wonderful vessels. And they all look beautiful. Oh, they look wonderful. But they're all cracked and they won't hold water. Some of them have wonderful robes on. Beautiful robes. And wonderful titles. And to look at, oh, they're wonderful. But they're all cracked. Not one of them will hold water. But how are the Lord's people looked upon by the world? We'll give you a scripture on this. Lamentations 4:1-2. How is the gold become dim? How is the fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious stones of Zion, comparable to fine gold in God's sight, but how are they esteemed as earthen pictures, the work of the hands of the potter? Dear friends, no one esteems you and me. There's a wonderful picture in the Lord's hands. How are they esteemed as earthen pictures? But they're comparable to fine gold in the sight of God. Now these are the wonderful ones of the world. The world looks upon them in their wonderful robes and their wonderful education. They're looked upon as wonderful pictures, wonderful titles. And as Brother Baker said, they go to college about 8 years to know how not to interpret the Bible. But God has chosen you and me. He's given us this wonderful truth. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do His will. The time has come, dear friends, when these wonderful vessels will be in the hands of the Lord, and the water that we are receiving now will be the doctrine that will go forth in that wonderful kingdom to come. And this God in His wisdom has chosen you and me to be vessels in His hands to His honor and to His glory. Dear friends, there's no room for pride, is there? When we look at all this the way the Holy Father is dealing, does not our hearts go after Him in gratitude? We're the work of the great and mighty Father. To Him is all the praise and the honor and the glory. May the Lord bless you.
I'm sure you enjoyed that very much. It was a good lesson in self-examination, wasn't it? What grade are you in? I wonder if the potter can patch up some of the cracks in the glazed part, because I'm afraid that most of us see times when you can see through to the flesh, no matter how long we've been in the way. But we have a wonderful potter that's working on these vessels. Thank you very much, Brother. bear us for bringing these thoughts to our attention. Now let us turn to hymn number 93, How Firm a Foundation. We sing verses 1, 2, and 5. And then remember, in about 15 minutes, we'll come together again and we'll have the illustrated lecture by Brother Edward Fay on the life of Paul. Let us all stand. Verses 1, 3, and 5, number 93.
Keep us all, dear Father, and dismiss us with thy blessing in Jesus' name.